Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, it's great to have you here. You know, there's been that story in the news about a change if you are a Canadian snowbird. So you're a Canadian citizen who goes down into the United States for more than 30 days. There's talk about the paperwork you've got to fill out. There's talk about the fingerprints that are going to get taken, photograph that needs to be provided, need to carry this documentation with you at all time. I think we need to get someone on the show about this because for the second day in a row, we've got people messaging us saying, we just went through the border. And we had no problem. We had no experience like that. John from White City is on his way down to Mesa. He's down there for the better part of 5-6 months. And he, by the way, listens to the show from Mesa and often contributes to the conversation in between his pickleball games. But he said he had no problem. I just got another text this morning saying, Evan, I'm hoping to ease the minds of some snowbirds. We crossed the border this morning at Coots Crossing, the same crossing we've taken into the States the last 4 years. And it was absolutely the same exact experience as previous years. Show our passports. We get asked where we're going, how long we're staying. By the way, they're staying 182 days. So they're down there for a while. Did you have alcohol in the vehicle? How much gas, etc.? Have a safe drive. No photo, no fingerprints, no search. So this is more of a note for Libby and I when we're putting together show topics. It'd be good to get someone from CBSA on to find out, you know, why is this story making news? And yet, consistently, we're hearing from people who are saying we're crossing the border. We're down there for, in some cases, half the year, and we're not going through what is being said, at least, that the new procedure is going to be. So I appreciate the people that are willing to share that with us. Well, I like to, this time of the year, give props to our friends, our sister station, C95, out of Saskatoon. They do an incredible job every year raising money for breast cancer research with their radio marathon. And the C95 radio marathon for breast cancer research fires up tomorrow. It happens for 12 hours. It starts at 6 in the morning. Rob and Shauna, who host the morning show, are hosting the whole show. They are there for the entire day. They bring on breast cancer survivors. They bring on family members. They bring on people that work with the foundation, of course, because the money going to breast cancer research. And someone who plays a very important role in the day tomorrow is someone who has some experience in this field. Sadly, it's more and more I feel like I am hearing close friends of mine, colleagues of mine that have had to deal with breast cancer in their life. And there's lots of great success stories. That's the beautiful part about this. And I think we're continuing to make strides through research, through treatment, through early detection to make sure that we're continuing to go in a good trajectory, in a good way. Terza Forbes is a breast cancer survivor. She's a very talented photographer. In fact, she's the owner of Terza May Photography. And she always helps out with this C95 radio marathon. She will be down there tomorrow at the Midtown Center for this. And she joins me by phone today, Terza Forbes. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Hi, Evan. Thanks so much for asking me again.
So,
I really appreciate it.
You know, I appreciate we had you on last year. And when we talk about the number of people that are impacted by breast cancer, in my previous job, I worked at the Regina Police Service. We had a number of staff members who had been diagnosed, many of which went through treatments, came back to work. Can you tell us your story? You're a breast cancer survivor. What was your health journey like, Terza?
Yeah, I found out that I had breast cancer at 36, and I was shocked. You know, when I first found out, I thought I was way too young. Since then, I have found that it's so common in young women, especially in their 30s and 40s, and I've met so many women in the community who have been struggling with this in their 20s. So breast cancer is the most common cancer worldwide. It is 1 in 8 women will get diagnosed with breast cancer, and the stats are scary. So I think it's, you know, I went through all of the treatment and the surgeries, and I came out on the other side cancer-free. But that's not the story for a lot of these women.
And I can only imagine, Terza, when you first get the diagnosis, even though you might know there's lots of great success stories, that has to have a devastating impact on you.
It does. There's no sugarcoating it. I mean, cancer affects you for the rest of your life. It affects your family members. It affects absolutely everything. And even if you have a great outcome like myself, where I beat it and I'm living my life now cancer-free, it's not something that is just goes away or is in the past. It is a constant reminder. It affects you daily. There's so many side effects that come with treatment. And I think it's not talked about enough, but you know, thankfully, with the radio marathon and every year we bring awareness, and I think more and more people now have such a better understanding of just how much breast cancer impacts millions of people.
Terza Forbes is my guest, breast cancer survivor, owner of Terza May Photography. And we'll talk a bit about how you've now really done some great photography work and helped the cause at the same time in a second. But I want to talk a bit more about your journey, Terza. What were the things that people were able to do when you were going through, from diagnosis, through treatment, through surgeries? What were the things that family and friends and colleagues were able to do that helped you?
What really helps is just asking questions. I think when anyone is diagnosed with something, especially breast cancer, people want to help and they don't know how. So for me, it was just even just sending a message and saying, I'm here for you. If there's anything you need, please let me know. Just letting me know that they were there. And at first, I didn't initially really know what I needed. But I think everyone's different that way. Some people like to keep it a little bit more private, or they deal with it kind of alone. But I think just letting those people know that you're there and anytime they need you, they can reach out. I think that was really helpful and nice to know.
It's an understatement to say that things like this change your perspective on so many things. How has it impacted your life? I'm so happy to hear where you are today. You're healthy, you're cancer free, but I know it's had an impact on you and has changed your life forever. In what way?
That's a long, it's a hard question to answer. It's changed my life in every possible way you could imagine. It's changed how I wake up, what I think in a day, how grateful I am. It changed my career. It changed my friendships, who I hang out with. It changed absolutely every part of me. And I would say for the better almost, because I think you have to find the positives when something like this happens to you. And I've always been like that. So I've made the best out of this experience, and it has taught me to see things differently and just to be more present with my kids and be a little bit more grateful every single day, because I think so many of us take our health for advantage. And when you have it taken away, you realize like, that is the only thing that is important in life, is to have your health.
Terza Forbes is my guest. So let's talk a bit about photography. You are a talented photographer. I was just on your website. TerzaMayPhoto.com is where people can see some of your work. But breast cancer awareness, let's say that, is very prominent in your work. Can you talk about some of the projects that you work on?
Yeah. So I have always been someone who wants to empower women and make them feel beautiful. And after my cancer journey, I knew what it felt like personally to just not have that self-confidence. And so I decided to take my photography and to help breast cancer survivors. And thankfully last year, C95 asked me to join them for their 25th anniversary. And we chose 25 women in Saskatchewan who had all been through breast cancer, and we did a group photo shoot, and it was probably the most fulfilling work I've ever done, because we brought these women back to life and we brought together a community. And I just am so grateful that I get to do what I love and also help with the breast cancer community and just help those women feel like a little bit like themselves again.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're helping out again this year. You'll be down at tomorrow's C95 radio marathon again, correct?
I'll be down there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your message to people that are listening, there are people listening who either they themselves have been recently diagnosed or have loved ones and family members going through this very challenging journey. What is your message to them?
My message is that you have to have hope. And there are many sad stories, but there are also so many positive outcomes, and I don't think they are talked about enough. And because of the research and because of all of these fundraising things that we do, we are able to have more of a hopeful outcome. And that's why tomorrow is so important, and all the money does stay in Saskatchewan to help with breast cancer research, and every little bit counts. So I would say try and stay positive, try and stay hopeful, and look for those miracle stories because they are out there.
Appreciate having you on the program again, Terza. I look forward to seeing you down at Midtown tomorrow.
Yes, thank you so much.
Terza Forbes, a breast cancer survivor, and has become a great advocate to help people through their journey, uses her ability to express emotion through photography. Terza May Photography is her company, and again, she'll be helping out tomorrow with the C95 Radio Marathon for Breast Cancer Research. It's live all day at the Midtown, fires up at 6 in the morning and goes until 6 o'clock, and I'm actually going to rip down there before my show starts, and do a bit of a check-in with Rob and Shauna, I believe, just around 7 o'clock tomorrow morning on C95. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. You know, I read this text yesterday, Susan from Estevan, and I saved it because there was just something about it I absolutely loved. It said, "Evan, I'm a senior, not particularly a baseball fan, but I saw a crack of the bat, and magically our differences in this country, which are huge, disappeared. We became one country, one Canada, all hoping and believing in one outcome. Let's keep it going." I love this text from Susan in Estevan, of course, talking about the Toronto Blue Jays and the fact that they are on their way to the World Series, that game one happening on Friday. And does it feel, I think it was Murray Wood this morning in his commentary, talked about, you know, is this deeper than simply the sport of baseball? Is this another example, like we saw with Four Nations Face-Off, where this is Canada versus the U.S.? This is the one major league ball team in Canada, which has a nation behind it, against a country that holds up baseball as their national pastime and very proud of that, threatened by the Canadians. I love this. It's a great matchup. This is, you don't have to be a diehard ball fan to be pumped and excited for what is going to be unfolding here starting on Friday. Hey, we just announced this. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders sent a release out about an hour ago with the nominations, the award nominations for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So this is the basically every year there's votes for various different categories. The riders that are nominated will go head-to-head with division finalists on October 30th, and then we'll go to the CFL Awards at the basically the Grey Cup Festival November the 13th. So nominees for the Riders: Nick Weeb for Most Outstanding Special Teams Player. Peyton Collins is Most Outstanding Rookie nominee. Jamarcus Hardrick, Most Outstanding Offensive Lineman. AJ Allen, Most Outstanding Canadian. Jameer Thurman, Most Outstanding Defensive Player. And Trevor Harris, no surprise there, as MOP, Most Outstanding Player. Those are the nominations just released by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders this morning. That Blue Jays and a whole lot more, part of the Green Zone this afternoon, which fires up at 2 o'clock. I love reading John Iveson in the National Post. He, excuse me, to me, he's a writer that He brings up great points in his articles. Always enjoy reading what he's got to say. He had an article in the National Post yesterday talking about essentially the bail reform topic that you and I chatted about a bit yesterday. And he points out, he starts out by pointing out home invasions in Toronto have doubled. Homeowners are being charged with aggravated assault for defending their home. Organized crime has concluded violent break-ins committed by hired, basically juvenile hoodlums is a lucrative, low-risk pursuit. So we're talking about these big, major retail theft smash and grabs. Private security demand is going through the roof. So all of those things are true. And we know that crime permeates every province in the country. It's a problem here in Saskatchewan. It might be different trend lines in our province, but it's not going away. So what John Iveson is saying here is that the bail reform that has been promised, has been laid out, hasn't yet hit legislative proposal. That should be happening any day now. This bail reform is more a political ploy than it is taking a bite out of crime itself. And in here basically talks about how the Conservatives have really positioned themselves and done so in a good way, that they are the ones that Canadians can trust when it comes to public safety. In fact, there was recently an Abacus poll done that suggested 66% of Canadians back the Conservatives on the topic of public safety versus 17% who think the Liberals can handle public safety the best way. So, I mean, the Conservatives, let's also not forget, they proposed their Jail Not Bail Act, Private Members Bill C-242, which suggested replacing the prevailing principle of restraint with the principle of protecting the public. So as opposed to saying we got to get the offenders back out as quickly as possible with the least amount of restrictions, looking at it from the lens of what do we need to do to prioritize protecting the public. So this would, I'm guessing, if this bill were to pass, it would add several violent indictable offenses to the list of reverse onus offenses when it comes to granting bail. And then everything would fall from that. What this article, though, from John Iveson is suggesting is this is not, in his words, he's saying, not a sword issue on which the Liberals are likely to win. The Liberals aren't going to greatly change public safety and crime with these, but what they are going to do is they're going to change the percentage of Canadians who feel it's the Conservatives that are best equipped to deal with crime. This is a shield to protect people from voting against the Liberals. That's the nexus of what John Iveson is saying. It's a great article. Again, it's in the National Post. The title of it is Liberals Are Solving a Political Problem, Not Reforming Bail, if you're looking for a good read. Okay, we take a break. When we come back, I'm looking forward to having a chat with Tim Hammond. You know Tim. He's the founder of Hammond Realty, born and raised on a farm just outside of Bigger, Saskatchewan. We're going to talk farmland and egg prices.